Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We want to finish this subject of the benefits we get from the love of God. God showing us his love. We have said already that the love of God is immeasurable. It cannot be measured. It is unlimited in extent because he himself is unlimited in extent. So he has a love which is unlimited. It cannot be that God is unlimited, but his love is limited. It doesn't flow like that. So God's love is unlimited just as he is, because actually he himself is love. And then we have said that God's love is unconditional in nature. In other words, it doesn't wait for you to put something on the table before he reciprocates. Otherwise, you are actually controlling God. And God is a king and he is in charge of himself. Even when people do not believe him, it doesn't diminish him. He cannot deny the fact that his love is unconditional. So whilst we were yet sinners, he came to die for us. Now, the third characteristic of God's love is that it is of the kingdom. It is of the kingdom. Number four, in other words, when we say it's of the kingdom, it means that it's a love that belongs to a different realm from the world system, from the system in which humans find themselves. God's love is of the kingdom. It is the highest love that anybody can show. Our best is motherly love, but the Bible says in Isaiah that even motherly love can fail, you know. Can a woman forget a suckling child? The Bible says they may forget, but God says, yet will I not forget. So his love is of the kingdom. It's of a different realm. So the spirit of his kingdom, which is the Holy Spirit, sheds this love abroad in our heart. Otherwise, we wouldn't know it. It's very foreign to humanity. Jesus reintroduced it when he came from the heavenly kingdom to show us how life over there is like. Now, number four, God's love, we have said, is not forced. God's love is not forced, you know. It is unconditional, but it is not automatic. It is not forced. In other words, you should receive it. You should receive it, you know. The story of the prodigal son illustrates this characteristic, where we see that this boy went away from the father, but when he came back to the father's love was always there for him. You know, when he was not enjoying the father's love, the love was still there, but it could not be forced on him. As long as he chose to go and live with prostitutes and go and live a wild life, the father still loved him, but it was not forced on him. He got to a place where he almost despaired because he would have eaten from the pig's food. There he remembered that he can go back and have some food from his father's house. And then he went back. When he got there, close to the house or within a range that the father could see, the father who had loved him all along, even when he was doing the bad thing, the father still loved him. This father ran and embraced him. He showed him that his love was not conditioned on whether he is a good boy or he is a bad boy, but on the fact that you receive. So although it is unconditional, it is not forced. Because forced love, you won't like it. When somebody loves you by force, you won't like it. You'll be frustrated. The person will irritate you because every time he's calling you, and you say, you too, leave me alone. All right, so the fifth characteristic of God's love is that it passes scientific knowledge, or it is beyond scientific knowledge. So why does God show us this love? When we say it's beyond scientific knowledge, we mean that you cannot put two and two together to conclude by a circumstance that God loves you or God hates you or does not love you, you know. You may think that a situation is a sign that God doesn't love you, but it is not. It is beyond gnosis, which is scientific knowledge. The Bible says to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, you know, which is beyond understanding. Okay, so it's wonderful. That is why people do not understand why a loving God, they say, can put somebody in hellfire, you know, because you can't put one and two together to say that it's equal to three when it comes to the love of God. Hallelujah. God shows love all the time. Even when he's being just, justice is expressed through his love. It's wonderful. It's expressed through his love. You know, he doesn't enjoy judging people at all. He loves mercy. So he lets his justice be expressed through his love. So that's it. Let's find out why God shows us infinite love, unconditional love. You know, he shows us love that we cannot understand. Why is his love like that? It's important to know the motive so that you will not misunderstand this love. So, what are the motives? What does God have in mind for showing us his type of love? The first thing I want to share with us today is that God shows us unconditional love to make us overcome fear. To make us overcome fear. He shows us unconditional love to make us overcome fear. 1 John 4:16 to 18. If you think that God's love is conditioned on you, like your good works or your bad works, then you can live in fear. You can live in fear not knowing how God's attitude will be towards you. But if you know that God's love is shown you so that every fear will be taken away from you, then you would indeed obey God, not because you are afraid, but because you love to obey him. Hallelujah. He wants us to be away from fear. He wants fear to be banished from our lives. Totally. You know, when Adam and Eve were told they were going to die when they ate of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it didn't prevent them from dying or from eating the fruit, you know, because it is the love of God that he wants, that it motivates us to obey him, not fear of punishment. Because people can be told about, if you do this, this will happen to you. But look at humanity. In spite of how terrible a punishment is, people still commit crimes, you know. So God shows us love so that he will take fear away, and whether we will obey him or not will be based purely on the fact that we love him and not that we are afraid that if we don't obey him, he will do something to us. He will let a tender come and strike us. No, God is not like that. It's wonderful. So that is why he shows his infinite, unconditional love to us. So that fear will be banished away from our lives. So that we will attend to the things of God, not afraid that, well, if you don't do something, God is going to get annoyed with you and deal with you. So that motivates you to do that thing so that God will not be annoyed. No, he doesn't want to relate to us like that. Like somebody who is threatening us, you know, into obedience. I don't think that you yourself, you want people to obey you because they fear, they are afraid. If they don't obey you, you will curse them or you will do something bad to them. I don't know whether you like to do that. But typically, we don't like to do that. We want people to obey us because they love to obey us. You know, that gives us satisfaction. That makes us feel like we are loved ourselves, you know. If people obey you because they are afraid of the consequences of not obeying you, then you yourself, you have a long way to go. In fact, because the people don't love you, they only fear you, you know. But it's wonderful. God wants us to love him. That is why he shows us unconditional love, to get fear away from us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, fear of all sorts is a weapon of Satan by which he introduces bad things into people's lives. Fear makes the devil introduce bad things into people's life. It is just like faith makes God introduce good things into our lives. Faith in his love will make him introduce good things into our lives. When we receive his love, then we see the fallout of his love. Then we see the results of his love. Now, the devil has a major weapon that he uses, which is called fear. And when he wants to bring bad things into your life, he will first of all introduce fear into your life, so that the fear is going to keep you from the attempting to do the good things that you have to do. Look at the book of 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 16 to 18. Let's read a scripture and then we'll take off from there. The Bible says that there is no fear in love, because but perfect love. Please underline perfect love. And please understand that perfect love cannot be shown by a human being. Please just understand that one. This perfect love is not talking about your love, because you are not perfect. You are not capable of showing perfect love. But God is perfect, and his love that he shows to you, that love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know, so the scripture is telling us that God shows us love so that fear will be far away from us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is how the devil uses fear. He uses fear to keep us from doing the things that we have to do. You know, he can use fear to block your mind so that your mind is no more creative. Listen very carefully to me. He can use fear to so oppress you that you cannot be imaginative in a positive way. You are only imagining bad things, worse things, evil things happening to you, or happening about a step that you have to take. Because of that, you don't take that step. And especially for those of us in this part of the world, the devil has a very strong hand in instilling fear into the common person. You know, because I said in this part of the world, because generally our culture is so much steeped in fear. We are always told, when they have to tell us the reason why we should not sing when we are bathing, they tell us that if we sing, dwarfs will come. You know, instead of saying that the soap will get into your mouth and all that, we shroud things in mystery, in fear. You know, so when a child wants to go outside, you know that it is not right. The child must rest and things like that in the night. You paint a certain picture that in the night there are some wild, wild spirits all around the house, you know. So because of that, these are just common things that people grow up with in this part of the world, you know. So people have a culture. People are steeped in fear. And believe me, as we grow up, we even fear things that we should, not even as believers, but as human beings, we should control, you know. But you see, if we know that God loves us, we know that he will not let the devil touch us anywhere. Yeah, he will not let the devil touch you. Just as you will not let the devil or a stranger touch your child. You, human as you are, you will not. You will fight any stranger like that. How much more God, being good, not being evil as we are by nature. Talking about the fallen nature. Hallelujah. Of all humans. You know, so the devil uses the fear of witches, fear of failure, fear of death. It occupies our people's mind too much, so much that if you listen to a typical prayer of somebody who has this culture of fear, he's always binding demons and he is always afraid that he will die. Because of that, he doesn't dare anything. He doesn't start anything. He doesn't even think about enhancing something, making the thing develop, you see, because he fears that some people are going to get at him. Some spirits in some places are going to, he's just going to attract them, so to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to free us so that we can start things without looking over our shoulders. This looking over our shoulders, it has occupied us too much. It has made us waste our years. It has not made us start things, enhance things, develop things that we should have by now. Hallelujah. It has occupied our prayers. It has occupied our sermons. No wonder when you listen to music, music that talks about your enemies being attacked, your enemies being destroyed, it appeals a lot to our people, you know. Because of what? Because of the fear in the system, in the culture. So music that will talk about your enemies have been overcome and they are under your feet and all those things, they sell more than the one that gives you a positive energy to go on to do what you have to do.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
I want us to understand the Bible says, by the death of Jesus, our enemy has been cast away. He said, now the prince of this world will be cast out. Cast out. He knows that the prince of this world, he uses the fear of death. He was going to die on the cross to free us from the fear of death. And the Bible says that he has been cast out. What does that mean? It's in the book of, let's go to, first of all, to Zechariah. Actually, Zephaniah 3 and then verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments because Jesus was judged for us. Hallelujah. He has taken away your judgments. Your judgments were real. That is why you could take them away, because we were sinners. But God put our sins upon him because he took the sin. That person who takes the sin must also be punished and judged. And he took the punishment and the judgment. So he says that the Lord has taken away your judgment. He has cast out your enemy. And please underline out. He has cast out your enemy. He is not saying that your enemy is no more. You have an enemy of your soul. He's called the devil. Is that right? But he says that he has been cast out. What does that mean? It means that your enemy is not close to you. He is not close. He's been cast out. It's like it's a picture of maybe you and the enemy in one place, you know, very close. And then he has been put out. So he is not close. He has taken away your judgment. He has cast out your enemy, you know. And in John chapter 12, verse 31 to 32, Jesus Christ fulfilled the scripture when he said that now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. We will look at that. But he has cast out your enemy. The king of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. The enemy is out. You see, his scent can be there because he smells bad. But actually, he is not around. He is out. It is the king who is in your midst. And he says that you shall see disaster no more. Why? Because your judgment has been taken away. Number one, because the enemy of your soul has been cast out. And number three, because the king of Israel, he died as the king of the Jews. The king of Israel, the Bible says, the Lord is in your midst. Because of that, you shall see evil no more. Look at verse 16. In that day, which day is he talking about? The day that this scripture will be fulfilled. And please, if you can put your hand there, we'll come back to it. Go to the book of John chapter 12 and we'll read verse 31. Jesus Christ is talking just before he goes to the cross. And he says that now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And please underline now in all cases. He didn't say later. He says now as he was talking. Now he will be cast out. And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all to myself. All peoples or all to myself. This he says, signifying by what death he would die. So, ladies and gentlemen, when the scripture said, go back to Zephaniah 3 verse 16 this time. When the scripture said that in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, he's talking about the day that Jesus Christ goes to the cross, where he takes away our judgment and he casts out our enemy. He says that in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Please underline, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. Do you know why Zion's hand was weak? Because Zion was afraid. It's like you have to touch something, but you can't touch it. Then I don't touch this business. This thing, I won't touch it. I won't try. Because if I try, witches will come. If I try, failure will come. If I try, death will come. Hallelujah. Says that it shall be said to us. That is why I am saying to us today, in that day, today is the day. The death of Jesus Christ is always fresh. The Bible says that it is a new and living way. And that tells us that it is a fresh way. In other words, although he died 2,000 years ago, in the mind of God, the thing is as fresh as yesterday. Hallelujah. It's powerful. God has such a memory. He says that although we in time we say, oh, 2,000 years ago, to God, the death of his son is so fresh in that day. Now, it shall be said to Zion, let not your hands be weak. In other words, Zion must be strong. The hand is talking about a means of working. You know, the hand is always a symbol of work. A symbol of work. So when he says that let not your hand be weak, he is telling us that don't lessen your work. Don't lessen your work at all. Lift up your hands which are weak. Get your hands at your work. Put your hands to the plow, to the work. Hallelujah. Not looking back, but looking forward. So that what? So that you can be able to enjoy kingdom results and taste kingdom life right here on this earth. All right? So he says what? Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst. Look at it, in your midst. It's talking about verse 15, where Jesus Christ is in our hearts, in our midst. The mighty one will save. In other words, if the devil, you see, your hand is not weak, and you are working hard, you are starting new things, new businesses, you are opening branches, you are starting new frontiers of issue, you are thinking big, you know, you are not afraid. He says that if the enemy comes, if the devil comes, God will save, because he is in your midst and he will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with what? Gladness. Hallelujah. In other words, God is going to rejoice when he sees that your hands are not weak as a result of the enemy's fear, because he said that Zion must not be afraid, but rather let his hands be strong. When God sees that, he says that I am going to save you. If there is any enemy that comes along your way, I'm going to save you. And he's going to rejoice over you with gladness. Look at the next phrase. He says that he will quiet you with his love. He will quiet you with his love. Because fear has got torment in it. So God's way of getting rid of fear from our lives is to quiet us with his love. To show us perfect love, that I am in your midst. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, I am going to lift up a standard against the enemy. So don't let your hand be weak. Don't keep looking back over your shoulder. Hallelujah. Don't keep looking in suspicion that a witch is coming, that an eye is looking at you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that thing will keep you from even thinking creatively about the assignment God has given you. Because you are so focused on binding demons and casting demons, it has so occupied you that you don't have creativity left. You are always thinking about them. And you are always thinking about that person thinking negative about you. You are always looking behind you and looking over your shoulder. But God is telling us today that Jesus Christ has died. There is a new chapter that has been opened. Yes, we deserved a bad judgment to come upon us. Yes, the enemy was close. But now, with the death of Jesus, he said, now the prince of this world is going to be cast out. And now the judgment is taking place because he was taking all our judgment upon himself, and he is going to quiet you with his perfect love. That is why the scripture says that perfect love casts out fear. It's like a child who is afraid, and you take the child in your arms and you say, shh, be quiet, daddy will take care of you, mommy is with you. You quiet the child who is agitated with your love. And that is what perfect love does. That is why God shows us perfect love, so that we will be quiet. So that what? We would have strong hands to labor, not weak hands. There are many people who have got weak hands. They are not laboring. They are not working at all. They are not thinking. They are not thinking about working, because you know what? They think that the devil is going to get at them. They think the devil is going to get at them, because they are always imagining all the negative things that is going to come their way. Hey, this thing happened to so and so, and that thing is the consequence. So you don't try. Haven't you heard this man of God dead? And the man of God was disgraced in a bad way. So you, that place is no-go area. Who said that? Who said it's a no-go area? Ladies and gentlemen, God teaches us sometimes, in fact, most times, how not to do something before he comes and teach us how to do it. And he uses people. Sometimes people go ahead and they commit mistakes. And God's eye was on, so that the people will commit the mistake, and then we would know how not to do that thing. Not so that we would be afraid not to do it. The devil will always freeze you with fear, occupy you. And once your mind is occupied with fear, believe me, you cannot think creatively about your assignment. You cannot be able to do anything that will bring glory to the Lord, because everything that you do will be born out of fear, and the devil will come against such ventures as that. He knows that if he is able to keep you in fear, and out of fear you try something, not out of love, but out of fear you decide to do something, he knows that that thing that you did hasn't got a solid foundation, because you are doing that thing because you are afraid, not because you have to do it to glorify God. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. I pray that God will take fear away from us. Hallelujah. He wants us to be bold children of God. God therefore wants you to know his perfect love for you, so that you do not live in fear. So God's love for you must make you know that he will be with you, even if you decide to walk in the valley of the shadow of death. He will be with you. By the unconditional love of God, you should know that the God of all grace and love will visit you in your troubles and take you out. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and then verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and then verse 10. It says that, verse 9, for context, let's go to verse 9. Or if you like, let's go to verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. He's trying to bring what? Fear. Seeking whom he may devour, because he tries to get fear into them. Resist him. In other words, resist fear. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You are not alone. That's what the Bible is saying. It says that, but may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. So God himself, I like the way the Bible puts it, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, He will perfect, he will establish, he will strengthen, he will settle you. The King James says that himself will do it for you. Hallelujah. That is where God steps in your trouble in his sovereignty and he says that enough. My child has suffered. Okay, it's enough. The troubles is enough. He will step in, ladies and gentlemen. So we should not be afraid. Hallelujah. Number two, the reason why God shows us his perfect love, his unconditional love, so that you are not afraid. You are not afraid to venture. You are not afraid in your life. Is so that we become more than conquerors. So that we conquer. Romans chapter 8 verse 35. Romans chapter 8 verse 35. Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, hallelujah, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at Number 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.